Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's Sharing Change has donated now more than $11 million to local nonprofits, assisting worthy causes in our community. MTE serving to make life better since 1936. State Representative Mike Sparks is joining us here today, and we've got 2 minutes for each subject that you've got with all the guests and the phone calls. Yeah,
can you handle it, brother?
I can. I'm not sure why you overbook. It's not hot in here. It's 71 in here.
It's hot in the foyer.
Yeah.
Anyways, we won't go there. Anyways,
you can go wherever you want to, but
anyways, it is hot out there. No, I got David Siracusa, the producer of the film. The Uncivil War, America Divided. I think he's got a great message. It's going to be at Premiere 6 tonight. We aired it in Smyrna. And I love the message. You know, the movie, you know, to some Southern Baptists may not be too comfortable, but I invited my members of my Sunday school class that are all average about 80 years of age. So I invited them. But, yeah, David's on with us, and I want to encourage folks to go out to Premiere 6 tonight.
So,
and thank you, Brian Barrett, Brian, for helping us with that.
Yeah. So when you say Southern Baptist, they just don't want to be seen in public watching it. They'll do it in private.
They will. Go to see the Reagan movie and then switch over to Civil War.
I see. Just kind of sneak in. Well, David, I know that I kind of gave you Shelby's number over at Premiere 6 and said it's a great local independently owned theater that might be willing to give you a look here. And lo and behold, here you are. Couple of weeks later back in Tennessee.
Absolutely, and they were great to work with. I'm very excited to get in there today, and this is our last showing of the film. We decided we had such a great showing the last time we were here. We were in Smyrna last time, and we had such a great showing. We said we got to come back and do it one more time. Mike and you and everyone at WGNS has been absolutely fantastic at helping us to get the word out, and we really appreciate it.
Well, awesome. So kind of walk us through, or maybe first of all, give us a quick overview of what the movie is about for those who may not be familiar.
Sure. It's about two lifelong friends, one white, one black, and it's kind of based on my life. I've got a buddy I play basketball with, and in the summer of 2020, we were back after COVID, but nobody else was. And so it was just him and I out there, and between playing ball, we'd talk about stuff. What do you think about George Floyd? What do you think about BLM? What do you think about the lockdowns? And it's just those discussions, and it's how all the friends and family got involved and how everybody started fighting and arguing about it and how crazy it is that we can't be civil to each other anymore and we can't just talk to one another like it seems like we used to be able to do.
So the movie is, I guess you... produce, direct, you're starring. I mean, you've got your hands all over this thing.
Yeah, I do. I produced it, I wrote it, and I starred in it. And Andrew Huff, a local Murfreesboro resident, actually was the one who directed it. And then Chris McKechnie, a Nashville resident, was our director of photography. So it does have a lot of ties to Tennessee. And I think it's got a message that resonates with the people of Tennessee, which is why I'm excited that we're kind of ending our theatrical release here in Tennessee.
Well, so for folks who want to come out to Premiere 6 tonight, what time does it start?
It's at 6:30, and I will be there afterwards. So if you want to scream at me, throw things at me, or just generally ask me questions about why we did certain things with the film, I'll be there. And I'm hoping the director, Andrew Huff, will also be there as well.
Oh, great. Well, that'll be awesome. And so that's tonight, 6:30 at Premiere 6 on Broad in the Jackson Heights Shopping Center. So hope folks will come out. And after this, David, if folks can't make it out tonight, where will they be able to view the movie? You said this is going to be the last theater showing, right?
Yes. So, distribution, what a tough thing for independent filmmakers. It's so hard, even with all the platforms out there, to get it out there. But it will be out there on the streaming platforms probably in 2 or 3 months. And hopefully you're going to see a big media blitz about it. We're hiring a marketing team to work on getting the word out. So hopefully you'll be hearing about it soon, but it'll be on Amazon and Tubi and Freebie and all of those.
Okay, very good. Mike, any final words here?
No, I just want to encourage folks to come out. Let's have a good show tonight. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Brian. Really appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Appreciate that. And That is tonight, Premiere 6, 6:30 this evening, and that's in the Jackson Heights Shopping Center. So I know we've got Clarissa to speak with here, Clarissa Smith, and we're going to be talking about busing and the shortage of bus drivers here in the county. But, Mike, you told me this morning, and turns out we had already found out about the passing of Casey Clark.
Yeah.
We had a story about Casey that Bart wrote over the weekend before his passing.
Yeah.
And so just want to send condolences to the family. And he, longtime caller, and really made you think, didn't he?
You know, Casey, I was sharing with you, Brian. I've shared this on the air. You know, someone was just calling me. They were upset about something going on. And they said, I'm tired of thoughts and prayers. So I'm going to tell you, prayer matters. Prayer works. I've seen it. I've seen it with Casey. When I was first asked to come up to this station, it was Gloria Christie invited me to come up. I don't even think I was elected yet. And I'd hear Casey wear everybody out. He'd wear out Truman Jones. He'd wear out the mayor. He'd wear out county commissioners. And I was scared. I was a little nervous, you know. And this was 22 years ago. And I just said a prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, take care of Casey Clark for me. Let me not have a problem with Casey. And the first time he called in, we got along. I think we were talking about issues facing the community, addiction in those areas. And then, you know, we put two Rosenwald reunions together. Back in Smyrna at the old Rosenwald building, community center off Eden Springs, and he come in and played music for me twice. And here's something, his bass guitarist, I remember, wish I had that guy's name, his bass guitarist walked up to me, and we had a crowd about, you know, 30, 40, 50 people there, and he said, man, let me tell you about Casey. Casey led me to the Lord in a club. And I thought, well, did you? I thought maybe he knew my background, you know, how I think about things. I said, man, why are you telling me? So I'm just letting you know. He led me to the Lord in a club. He played in the clubs. But, you know, Casey was a great guy and just passionate. And, you know, if you ever seen Jimi Hendrix play and some of that, he would tell me a story about Jimi Hendrix, I guess, coming up to one of the, was it Troubadour Club? One of the clubs off, I think, Old Nashville Highway. And he said, he said that Jimi Hendrix was standing there wanting to cut in and play. And, he said, I thought he said he had white pants on. Jimi Hendrix had white pants on. He got up there and started playing guitar with his teeth behind his head and all this stuff. And everybody was like, whoa, because Jimi Hendrix hadn't become super popular like he was back later. But anyways, condolences to Casey Clark and his family. You know, I was telling Raquel Keeble, she called me earlier, Councilman in Smyrna. I was washing the dishes this morning and I was thinking about Casey. I thought, man, I need to go see Casey before something happens. And this is why, if you got a loved one, do it today. Don't do it tomorrow, because this is what we're guilty of. We wait till next week, tomorrow, before. And I want to get the nursing home and just been busy with a lot of things. And but anyways, Casey was just, I think his band was the Real Deal Band. Was it Real Deal?
I'm not sure.
It was called the Real Deal Band. Tracy, really, I mean, he was really, Casey was really just, he was the real deal, man. I mean, you just, you know, he said what he wanted to say, and you got to respect it. But a talented musician, and he was a Christian, so he's in a much better place than we are today.
Most certainly. So we appreciate your thoughts on that, and of course, we'll have something on the website really soon. We had a nice article over the weekend, which is still up, I think Scales and Sons Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements for Casey. So Clarissa Smith is here, and you know, I can't help but think of you every time I walk into the Blackman football field and Bart and all. So, you know, that a very nice tribute to him there, and a nice plaque that they've got as you walk into the stadium now. So that's really awesome. You're very involved in the Blackman area, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you knew about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Do your children go to Blackman?
No, kids don't go to Blackman, but we're doing the high school games. We're at Bart Smith Field at last Friday night, actually, doing the Blackman Stewart's Creek game. So
yes,
that is a pretty cool tribute. But do you have been driving buses how long in the county?
I've had my license 24 years. This would be 48th, the 48th year for Bart to be.
Wow.
We're continuing that legacy.
Sure.
Bart Smith busing.
Yeah. So that, and it's more than just you and one bus out there, right?
It's more than me and one bus. My brother helps me. I couldn't do it without him. I have six on the road. We had two when Bart was alive. Two buses contracted, and six are on the road today. I have a fleet of eight, two spares, and six on the road.
Wow.
So, but I couldn't do it without my team of drivers.
Sure.
I could not.
So Kind of talk to us about how this works, because I think a lot of people are under the misconception that the county has these buses and they hire the bus drivers. Now, the city of Murfreesboro does it that way, but not in Rutherford County.
You're right. A lot of people do have a misconception. Since 1924, Rutherford County has contracted with private individuals to provide that service for the county. So those buses are owned by those contractors that are providing that service.
And as we continue to grow here in Rutherford County, we have to grow the number of bus drivers, but I think we're falling behind, aren't we?
We are falling behind. Every multiple bus contractor across this county is short drivers. If you are a singular bus contractor, and singular meaning, let's take Jerry Buchanan, for instance. Jerry is a sole bus contractor. He has one contract, and he drives that himself. So he's not short. He might be short on a sub, you know, if he needs to take off. There's no subs. So, but every multiple bus contractor is short of drivers. We're doubling up on routes.
So, are there enough buses, just not bus drivers?
That's correct. There's enough buses. There's more buses than there are drivers.
Okay. that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that that's kind of the situation mm-hmm. that we had. So, when you don't have enough drivers, you say doubling up. What does that mean? Do you drive one bus and then take the other one on that route too? Or do you double up on your route? How does that work?
You're doubling up on your route. So for instance, let's just say, well, I am down a driver. Mm-hmm. I'm down a driver and I'm in a seat myself. So if I were to say I'm not going to drive as a contractor, I'm going to sit at home. So I would look to my drivers to double up and do their route. Let's say they're doing route 125 and I need them to do route 65 as well. So they're going to go do their route 125. When they get those kids to their respective schools, they're going to turn around and go run 65's route.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. So the kids are late. There's a delay of them being picked up when we're running double, but we're, you know, everybody's doing the best they can with the circumstances that we have.
So is that has to be a massive job for the county to figure all of that out and when what the bus routes are supposed to be and try to start them as late as you can, but still there are some kids being picked up before the sun comes up, aren't there?
There are. There's some big bus routes that start around 6 o'clock, and there's some special education buses routes that start before 6 o'clock.
Oh wow!
But you know, it's not so because we are the contractor, we have the responsibility to fill that route with a driver and to figure out what our sub plan is going to be and tell transportation what that is. So they're not actually getting the routes covered the majority of the time. It's us doing that.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Telling them what that coverage is going to be because it's our responsibility. We've signed our name to that contract to provide that service. So we are looked at to give them our sub plan. So case in point, last year I was down a driver last year as well, so I sat in a seat, and when I had a driver that needed to be out for an afternoon or the whole day or whatever, I figured out what that plan was and emailed my administrators to the schools that were affected, CC'd transportation, and said here's how we're running this, here's what time this bus will be here, here's what time this bus will be here.
And then you also have the problem of is if a bus has a mechanical issue, you've got to have you have two spares.
We have two spares.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you ever does another bus driver call you and say, hey, I need to borrow one of your spares, or can I rent it, or does that happen?
I used to lease mine out, but I don't do that anymore.
I see.
So they know not to call me. Even my BFF knows not to call me.
Gotcha.
Because I don't let them go out the door.
I understand.
Some people don't take care of things the way that you take care of things, uh-huh. And that's just the way it is.
And how much does a new bus cost? Do you have any idea?
$210,000.
Wow.
You serious?
I promise you.
I thought they were about 120.
No. Bart's 2003 was $125,000. The last brand new bus that he ordered, and it is still running because it can still run. It has 141,000 miles, and it can run to 200 under that mileage. Mike, we've discussed that, but it's still running, and it's running as a spare. And that bus was $125,000, but they are $210,000, and that's not including taxes.
Yeah. So I had heard bus drivers talk about, well, in a certain amount of time, I've got to get a new bus, things of that nature. So is it mileage or years or a combination, or how does that work?
It's a combination of both. So they can run up to 15 years with one THP, pupil transportation inspection, per year. Once they reach 15 years and they have not maxed out at that 200,000-mile mark, then they are inspected twice a year. And the contractor pays THP an inspection fee to for them to be inspected two times a year. And it's $750 for two times a year. I don't know if anybody knows that, but THP's making money on those buses that are over 15,000, but not maxed out at the 200,000-mile mark.
So when you look at a bus and you see all the buses on the road, it's almost $250,000. Driving around each
There's
one of them.
326 buses on the road. I don't know the breakdown between the special education buses. They cost just as much. We were a special ed bus contractor at one time, and they cost just as much because of what they are equipped with.
Sure.
So, I mean, 326 buses times $210,000.
That's crazy. Just to think of, and the number of buses you need.
Well, one reason Clear's not connected was I was asking about the legislation we passed years ago, which, correct me if I'm wrong, extended the life of the school bus
to 200,000.
Okay. And you wouldn't think that would get so controversial, but sadly, y'all don't have a lobbyist. I mean, y'all got to get together. Seriously, you've got to unify. And I know a lot of bus drivers, let's just be honest, they don't speak, they don't get along, at least that's what I had been told.
Well, you're right. That's still going on today,
sadly.
Folks
got to just get, it's like this movie tonight. People got to work together. And even the Bible says three cords woven together stronger than one. And people got to come together. So if you need legislation, let's start working on that now. That was Representative Kelly Kiesling. And that was so controversial. But here's the sad thing. You didn't see no article in the Daily News drawn about that. There was no article. I mean, all fairness, WGNS, they probably didn't know about it. There's no reporters covering this stuff.
I didn't know that it was being lobbied to 300,000, or that it had been requested to go to 300,000. I didn't know that.
Well, there's folks that, you can make an argument. Do you want seatbelts in buses? But what's that going to cost? I mean, everybody, there's a cost factor in everything.
Sure. Well, and the 300,000, I mean, it sounds like it makes good sense. Are there safety issues? And you actually said it just a second ago, different people care for their buses in a different way. So, I guess there's a lot that goes into that.
We all have standards. Some are more particular about their standards than others. We all have to submit to the same type of inspection. So
does the school board, and I'm not trying to be critical, we never even heard from the school board on that legislation. We never heard. Now, that's been a few years ago, but I know school board members care about this, but just like that fee, we need to know those things. The whole delegation needs to know. The school board, the county commission can pass a resolution just like they've passed other resolutions to say, hey, back off these fees. What else can we do?
The reason the school board, you didn't hear from them, is because that doesn't really affect them. They're not the ones buying the buses. We are. We're buying the buses, and so that affects us.
But the problem is more severe today than it was 6 and 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do most counties do it the same way, at contract with drivers?
No. There's Hamilton County, Knox County, Rutherford County. There's probably 10 counties across the state. Mike, would you say 10 or more?
I don't know. I know that there's – dumbfounds me when you got such a big issue that there's nobody really, there's no cohesiveness on the topic.
Yeah, well,
you're bringing folks together.
My point is, I mentioned this a second ago, the city of Murfreesboro has their fleet of buses and they maintain those and they hire drivers for that. And I just didn't know if that was more of the standard or contracting with drivers and their buses was more of the standard across the state.
The standard across the state is how Murfreesboro City does. They own their own fleet.
Gotcha.
And employ their drivers. Yeah. The way Rutherford does it is more of the anomaly.
Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. But let's see, 300 and how many routes are there in the county? Or
326 contracted buses for the county.
Well, 326 at $250,000 apiece, that's just chicken feed for the county.
The county wants to take on that responsibility.
Probably not.
That's why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not lobbying, because it doesn't affect them. They provide us a set amount of money per month, and we have to try to figure out how to make that work.
These issues need to be on their radar.
Right, they do need to be on their radar.
Or whether it's Pettus Reed or Craig Harris or Phil Wilson or whoever, they need to know the issues you're dealing with.
It needs to be on their radar. Yeah. We need all the help we can get.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. It's a tough job. I mean, you're up early, and then you've got you split your day, your work day, in half, and those half days and snow days, all that. I mean, it's a crazy job, but I'm glad you're out there along with all the others.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Shout out to Marty Luffman for connecting me with Clarissa.
Yeah. Phone number. Marty. Apologize.
He always has the pretty ladies' numbers. You know that? He really does. I don't know why.
We are just slap dab out of time, but appreciate you joining us today. And
thank
if you missed part of the program, thanks, Clarissa. Part of the program, check WGNSradio.com. Look under the Rutherford Issues podcast or YouTube, Facebook. We're Twitch. Yeah, we're in all those places. Check us out.